Hello, this is George Waring, and I'm recording in the underground recording studio under the labor union in Uptown Butte. This article should be appearing, I think, in March, the Butte Weekly. It's simply entitled Billion Dollar Philanthropy. In November, Inequality.org's Chuck Collins and Helen Flannery discussed a Bloomberg expose: the hidden ways the ultra-rich pass wealth to their heirs tax-free. Their focus was on Nike billionaire Phil Knight's strategies to avoid estate tax and maximize transfers to his heirs and charitable foundations. Would Phil Knight, worth $58 billion, give to charity primarily to reduce his taxes? Well, what do you think? Billionaires are the largest beneficiaries of the tax reductions provided in our tax code. For every dollar a billionaire gives to charity, taxpayers actually chip in 74 cents in lost tax revenue. Knight's philanthropy goes to his own private family foundation. He donates appreciated Nike stock. He receives enormous income tax deductions and avoids hundreds of millions of dollars in capital gains taxes. His foundation has saved him billions in taxes. However, its payout rate, the rate at which it gives grants to working charities, is abysmally low. Who benefits from Phil Knight's foundation? Knight has given more than $2.4 billion directly to charities since 2011, most going to his two alma maters, Stanford University and the University of Oregon, which have received about $1.7 billion between them. Recently, Knight's private foundation, run by himself and his wife, has received most of the giving. $1.9 billion from 2014 to 2018, more than double the amount he gave directly to charity during that time. Almost all recent gifts have been in the form of appreciated shares of Nike stock. Donating stock instead of cash has saved Knight hundreds of millions in capital gains taxes that he would have had to pay if he had sold the stock instead. In 2018, Knight contributed $1.6 billion to his Knight Foundation in the form of Nike stock. His stock was listed at $33 million. If he had sold the stock, he would have been liable for a capital gain of $1.5 billion plus. The authors note if Knight held his stock long enough, it would have been subject to a 20% capital gains tax rate. By donating the stock, he avoided at least $300 million in capital gains taxes. Add to this the fact that Knight would have been allowed to deduct up to 60% of his $1.6 billion gift from his income taxes in 2018, and it appears his philanthropic giving has netted him a good chunk of tax savings indeed. In 2020, Knight donated more than $900 million worth of Nike stock to his foundation, avoiding paying capital gains on his stock donation. Because the IRS suspended the cap on charitable deductions during the pandemic, Knight would have been able to deduct the entire value of his near billion-dollar gift from his income taxes as well. It's an understatement to say that the dollars flowing out from the Knight Foundation to working charities have not kept pace with the dollars flowing in, or with the tax breaks Knight has received from his gifts. Each year, private foundations are required to pay out at least 5% of their assets in grants. But over the 5 years from 2014 to 2018, the average payout of the Knight Foundation was just 2%. Even in 2018, the year Knight put $1.6 billion into his foundation, it paid at only 2.2%. Knight scored just a 2 out of 5 on Forbes' recent philanthropy rankings of the richest Americans. Now, this might have disappointed him, but those rankings appropriately only count out-the-door money going to working nonprofits, not to your own private foundation. The only way the public sees any return from the charitable tax breaks they subsidize is from real charity. Revenue going to charities actually working for the public benefit. The public has seen little real charity in exchange for the hundreds of millions of dollars in charitable subsidies they have given to Phil Knight. And this raises questions about whether Knight's philanthropy is designed more to serve the nonprofit sector or his own financial interests. Thank you, Chuck and Helen. This is George Waring, and I thank you for listening.